Hello and welcome to the Frontier Strategy Group podcast series. FSG is the leading provider of information services for emerging market executives. We partner with business leaders at over 200 multinationals by providing them with research, analytical tools, and data to power their emerging market business strategies. My name is Pablo Gonzalez, and I am the senior analyst for the Latin America research team here at FSG. I'm joined today by two of my colleagues, Antonio Martinez and Christine Herlihy, who are here to discuss their latest quarterly market reviews on Venezuela and Argentina. Antonio, Christine, welcome, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Pablo.
Thanks, Pablo. Glad to be here.
Let me start asking you about your outlook for the economy in 2014. You both expect the economy to contract this year in Argentina and Venezuela. Christine, why do you expect such a rapid deterioration, taking into account that Argentina grew by almost 4% last year?
So, Pablo, I think there are three things to keep in mind here. One is that the government actually just released final growth figures for 2013 that put GDP at 3%. So they sort of conveniently rebased GDP to come in below 3.2, which would have required them to pay out warrants. The other thing to point out is that last year growth was primarily driven by government spending. It was an election year, so the government was basically printing money to fund consumption and to ensure that people felt good, more or less, before elections happened last fall. So, unfortunately, to do that, they were using reserves. And they're reaching the point at which they don't have the reserves to continue to finance deficit spending. So we are going to see government spending fall. We've seen the signs of monetary tightening. And high inflation and essentially a weaker currency are going to cause both investment and consumption to fall off this year.
Okay, thank you. So what would be your forecast for 2014 then?
So right now we're looking at, rather conservatively, contraction of about negative 0.3%. Relative to last year. And the reason I say conservative is because until Q1 figures are released, it's a bit difficult to pin exactly how steep of a contraction we're going to see. But I think the important thing to emphasize here is that all key sectors that have historically driven growth in the economy, and most emphatically government spending and household consumption, are going to contract in 2014.
Okay, thank you, Christine. Now, turning to you, Antonio, it seems that unlike Argentina, the Venezuelan government is not pursuing any type of monetary or fiscal tightening to correct macro imbalances in the economy. So what makes you think that the economy will contract this year then?
Right now, our expectation is that the economy will contract by around 1%. If you ask the government, their numbers are to see some kind of growth between 3 and 4% this year, which would be pretty heroic. What we see is even if the government does not really pursue any kind of fiscal monetary policy in terms of more of a contraction or austerity mode, basically, even so, we're going to look at it from an investment standpoint, from an industrial production standpoint, you're seeing the numbers go in a very negative direction. So even though the government spending continues to be high, even though credit to the economy continues to be also very high, and fostering at least some consumption, when you look at the amount of product shortages that to the point that even the government does not want to release the scarcity index that they used to have anymore, simply because it's probably almost certainly getting much, much worse. And actually was at record highs the last time they measured. So our view is that we are very conservative at this point with a negative 1% contraction. Something worse than that would occur if the government actually moved in a direction toward stabilizing the economy.
In your report, you mentioned that the new exchange rate system, the SICAD-2, will not help stabilize the economy. And you also say that it is unclear whether it will increase the amount of US dollars available for private sector companies. Can you please elaborate a little bit more on this?
Yeah, well, when you ask our clients, they'll tell you they're actually they're seeing a lot more optimism in the market, particularly when it comes to SICAD 2. It was with the widespread expectation that this would actually be a market-based approach, and in a sense, demand and supply would kind of work together. What we've seen is that SICAD 2 is very similar to what we saw with SICAD 1, which is the government's managing both the price that companies can actually access those dollars, which is somewhere now between 49 and 51. And it is also very clearly the supply of dollars that the government is providing is much, much lower than the demand at that price. So what we see is at this point that while to some extent some companies will get lucky, and I think right now the view is that companies on average are getting around $200,000 every time they go in every day, at each company. That's kind of the maximum that they can get. It's not clear that actually the government is dispersing that money very quickly, or that the government is actually in any mood or any idea to actually increase the supply, the volume, the total volume, which is another number that they're not releasing either. So when we look at all that together, it seems like CCAT 2 is just more of the same from the government. And when you look at, like, if they even try to increase the volume of dollars through there, you would see much higher inflation. And because if you don't see the government either from a fiscal standpoint or a monetary standpoint move pushing back or decreasing the amount of stimulus to the economy, the whole thing is going to spiral out of control.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, what you're basically saying is that until inflation is not put under control, devaluations will only lead to more devaluations. Is that correct?
The government needs to, in some way or another, cut back in terms of government spending, even if some of that deficit is covered by this devaluation, because obviously they're getting more bolivares per dollar. And as you know, most of their money comes from PDVSA, and so any devaluation basically means that they have more bolivares per everything that they bring into the economy. Unless you start seeing some moves in a direction either to cutting energy subsidies or start raising interest rates to some extent, you will not see this work very effectively. And you're going to continue to see just higher and higher demand for dollars as more and more money kind of tries to leave the economy.
Okay, I understand. Another question we keep getting from clients is about this new law of fair prices. How concerned should they be?
Well, a lot of our clients are very concerned. I mean, at this point, I mean, if you look at the law itself, it is almost impossible to actually implement. It requires basically every single product in the market that it's supposed to have a 30% margin. And the government isn't particularly clear exactly what's included, what isn't included in that. What we found is that a lot of companies are reconsidering what kind of investment, kind of footprint to have in the market, what to sell, whether to the distributors or what kind of involvement to have in the market. What we've heard from companies is that the best thing that they can do at this point is just simply prepare documentation to make sure that whenever the government randomly or pseudo-randomly decides to inspect or audit your books, you're at least somewhat prepared.
And in terms of inflation, you also mentioned that this will not solve inflation either.
Price controls never work. I mean, the government would love it if this kind of just scared all the companies from raising prices too quickly, especially as you're starting to see this, you know, more devalued exchange rates. It got to maybe be a bigger part of the story in terms of the dollars bringing into the market. But at this point, one can say that they haven't worked in the past. We don't expect them to work in the future.
Okay, so it seems that the new exchange system and, you know, price controls will only, you know, worsen the situation of the economy. Do you think that Venezuela could eventually hit the wall and shift to a more pragmatic way to manage the economy, similar to what we're seeing in Argentina?
The issue is that there are certainly people within the government who know that that's the direction that they need to take. The problem is that they're not the only ones making policy. And so the same thing with CICAT 2, with CICAT 1, with just about every policy we've seen coming out of this government, sometimes where they're going towards more pragmatism, sometimes when they're going more towards radicalism, it seems like everything is kind of a compromise, and the compromise in itself isn't actually, it makes any kind of solution that they're trying to create not operational, not effective, ineffective at best, and ineffectual at worst.
Thanks, Antonio. Now turning back to Argentina, Christine, which steps has the government taken to stabilize the economy?
Pablo, so far what we've seen the government do has been mostly on the monetary side. They haven't made significant fiscal changes yet. But what we have seen, beginning in January, we saw a devaluation of the peso of about 20%, down to roughly 8 pesos to the dollar. And that rate has more or less stabilized at this point in time, which is an adjustment, but it's not significant enough of an adjustment to bring us to an equilibrium exchange rate. So we're expecting additional downward pressure on the peso. But the fact that the government was able to sort of implement this slightly disorderly, but, you know, relatively maxi devaluation is a step in the right direction toward course correction. Additionally, we've seen them raise interest rates. We're not at a point yet where rates are positive in real terms, which means that the impact on the money supply and on credit is still sort of muted. But we have seen M2 begin to decline again, moderately. I want to emphasize that everything we've seen so far has been sort of the right type of action, but not enough of, in terms of magnitude to see real course correction. It's mostly sort of a sign of intent, which we're interpreting positively at this point. We've also seen them adjust reserve requirements, meaning that banks are limited in the amount of foreign currency they can hold, which is an effort basically to force banks to sell dollars to people. And hopefully the government, of course, is hoping that people will choose to leave those dollars in the bank rather than take them out and pay the additional tax. We've also seen, and this is pretty significant, the government has announced that they're going to cut energy subsidies in half by mid-2014. So the way in which this cut is going to be applied is going to sort of vary across the population. It's going to depend on income. So very vulnerable segments of the population, as well as industrial companies, will be exempt. But most people, particularly those in the middle class, will be impacted, and they are going to see their purchasing power as a result decrease. And this is pretty politically unpopular. Obviously, these subsidies have been in place for about 10 years now, since Argentina's default in the early 2000s. So removing them is going to be very tricky. And I think there's a lot of potential for things to get worse before they get better here. Finally, we've seen Argentina take sort of several different ways of making amends with both the private sector as well as with international financial organizations like the IMF and the Paris Club of lenders. So this so far has actually worked out pretty well for Argentina. They were able to reach a settlement with Repsol regarding the previous nationalization of their enterprise in Argentina. They've also sort of embarked on negotiations with the Paris Club. Right now, they're set to meet with those lenders toward the end of May. Finally, they recently were granted, or sort of indications are that they will be offered a loan from Goldman Sachs. So this is a really big sign of progress, sort of marking the beginning, albeit a very nascent beginning, of Argentina's return to international capital markets. So these are all positive signs.
Thanks, Christine. Considering how the Kirchner administration has managed the economy until now, a key question that comes to my mind is, how committed do you think the government is to this economic makeover, if you will? And secondly, are there any roadblocks our clients should consider?
So I think, Pablo, it's very important to emphasize that at this point in time, we have not seen an ideological shift. It's not that the government has had a change of heart, so to speak, although there are certainly many people within the government and outside of it, in terms of opposition in parties and candidates, if you will, that would be very much in favor of more severe adjustments and a more orthodox approach to policymaking. Those loyal to the president really have not changed their ideology. They have recognized that reserves put them in a position where they have to change their policy. So it's sort of a situation that's being forced by the external environment. And so far, they've managed to avoid some sort of disorderly spiral. My view is that if we see things get worse, particularly socially speaking, if we see widespread unrest that turns violent, we may see the government forced to turn to repression or sort of tempted to revert back to populism. So those are real risks that remain. Additionally, there's a couple other things that our clients should be monitoring, including wage negotiations. So the government's currently negotiating with teachers' unions, and they're going to go through sort of every sector of the economy as the year goes on and try and set wage increases. Now, these unions are going to push for wage increases above inflation, so in the range of about 35 to 40%, which is our estimate for actual inflation. So even if they get that increase, which we don't expect them to, they would barely be meeting inflation. What actually needs to happen, however, if we're going to see course correction, is that real wages need to fall. And obviously, real wages falling is very politically costly. It's going to impact people directly in their pocketbooks. It's going to impact our clients in terms of their sales. So this is going to be something to monitor. It's also going to be key to track in terms of the course of monetary policy. So are we going to see additional devaluation of the peso? I would say yes, but the scale of that is going to depend on how much they're able to make real wages fall. So basically the spread, right? Two other things I would just touch on briefly. One is the potential for the export sector to sort of be impeded by farmers who have been hoarding their crops historically as sort of a hedge against inflation. They really need the dollar inflows coming from soy exports, so that sector is going to be crucial. And finally, of course, negotiations, or should say sort of court proceedings in the U.S. Supreme Court regarding Argentina's default and sort of the situation with holdout creditors. That situation remains ongoing, and we're awaiting a Supreme Court ruling to see if Argentina is going to be forced to pay the holdouts in full. So that's a risk as well.
It is clear to me that despite this shift to a more pragmatic management of the economy, uncertainties will remain high in Argentina in the months to come. Have you seen any change as to how our senior executives in Latin America are positioning Argentina in their portfolios?
So it's certainly become a more difficult case to make. And this is something that's been true for the past probably 2 or 3 years. So it's not necessarily a new phenomenon for us to hear from clients that making the case for Argentina is hard. What we have heard from clients is that typically the pressure to either divest or significantly scale back investment in Argentina is usually coming from corporate. People on the ground in the market have been through these types of cyclical downturns before, and as well as through, you know, perhaps not cyclical, but very severe mismanagement. They've been through these periods of volatility, and they know the cost of exiting the market. And they're pretty convinced that staying in over the long term is the optimal solution. And the reason being is that Argentina, in terms of both human capital from a workforce as well as from a consumption perspective, some of the highest educated and highest purchasing power consumer base in the region. And the resource base is also very attractive. So it's a market both in size, demographics, natural resources that companies want to stay in. So I think when we have seen a change in making the case, the emphasis has very much shifted from, hey, we're capturing the benefit of essentially a government that's helping people buy stuff, to it's worth staying in this market to capture the long-term opportunity.
And does the picture change depending on the sector we talk about?
So the picture changes, but I would say not too much. I would say where we're going to see the sharpest contraction this year is going to be in the industrial sector, as well as from basically anyone relying on imports that they're not able to source, or the cost is rising dramatically given the devaluation of the peso. We're also going to see CapEx spending fall pretty significantly. So people in that space are going to be very negatively impacted. Obviously, non-discretionary purchases are the last things that consumers are going to cut back on in a downturn, but we expect really every sector across the range of industries that we work with to be impacted, and that impact unfortunately will be negative. The one sector that may see some immunity would be healthcare, and even then we are going to see pricing pressures. Government resources are going to be strained, particularly at the provincial level. But for companies providing goods that are perceived as staples, whether it's pharmaceutical or food for that matter, they may enjoy, you know, to a certain extent, some degree of privileged access.
Perfect. Thanks, Christine. Now turning back to you again, Antonio, what is the market sentiment towards Venezuela? Have you heard about any major change of course from our clients given the current economic and social turmoil?
For the most part, you haven't heard too many of our clients actually say that they're exiting the market. I mean, what we've seen is a lot of retrenchment and a lot of limitation of new investment. I mean, in a sense, some of our clients are moving towards reducing their personnel in the market. Very few are actually going into the market where they weren't before. The sentiment is very negative. I mean, while we've seen a little bit more optimism in recent months, mostly because of as I mentioned, CICAT 2, there hasn't been a lot of view that there's progress there. And what a lot of companies are basically facing is that either the government owes them either dollars or pure payments, even in bolivares, or they're just, at this point, just taking a wait and see, and whether or not their distributors will have access to dollars, and what effect other regulatory changes or what implications might come down the line from what the government's doing may have an effect on their business.
Okay, and the same question I asked to Christine, does the picture change depending on the sector?
I mean, when you look at it, certain industries, I mean, particularly if you're in the food and the pharmaceutical industries, theoretically at least, you have access at the old Cadivi rate of 6.3. So you're not necessarily facing the kind of either the CICAT 1 rate, which is 10.8 or so, or the new CICAT 2 rate. Those companies, at least theoretically, are still facing the same environment, but again, no one seems to be getting paid on time.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Antonio. Let me ask you a final question about Venezuela. Many people thought that President Nicolas Maduro would have a harder time staying in power than Chavez did, not only because of the economic problems that he inherited, but most importantly, because of internal divisions within his own ranks. However, despite all the social unrest that we've seen followed by government repression, Maduro is still in power and he seems to have a strong grip. So I would be curious to hear your thoughts on this.
I wouldn't say it's a particularly strong grip. I think a lot of what he's been helped to some extent by these protests, because it's allowed the situation to become a polarized, and any time that any issue or the environment is polarized between Chavistas versus the opposition, that's generally beneficial to whoever's in power. And this time, not right now, it's President Maduro. But what's going to happen is that at some point or another, the economy is going to need to be stabilize, unless you're predicting or someone's predicting oil to go back up to 120, 130 anytime soon. So what we see is that the government, one way or the other, is going to pay a big price. And it's basically a matter of time before it has to pay that price. And that will be the point where maybe Maduro can navigate that situation. Apparently, it doesn't look like he thinks he can. And that's something to look forward to, not look forward to, but to be looking ahead to in terms of the stability of the country.
Thanks for your remarks, Antonio. I think we're running out of time here, so thanks again, Christine and Antonio, for talking with us about Argentina and Venezuela. If you're interested in learning more about our Latin America-focused research, I would like to take a moment to remind you that your FSG account manager can set up a conversation between you and either Antonio or Christine or any other member of our research team at your convenience. Additionally, all FSG content is available online in downloadable PDF format at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com. This concludes our podcast for today. Until next time, we wish you great outperformance in your emerging markets.